This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Guys, let me call your attention to three things we have coming up, three special dates that are coming up in October. October 7th. Next week, we have Joe McGee. If you've never heard Joe McGee, you will enjoy Joe. Joe's been coming 19 or 20 years. He's come here to the Ark. We call him our crazy uncle. We love Joe. He is really awesome. If you've never heard him before, be prepared to laugh and be prepared to listen, because he talks twice as fast as I do. But it's great stuff. October 14th is Commitment Sunday. That's when we bring and make our commitments. And October 21st is Celebration Sunday, when we celebrate what has come in. So for those of you who've been joining us on all the board, we're so glad that you've been a part of this. And, you know, it's funny, I'm laughing at this, because I asked people, I said, hey, you know what, for the next few weeks, if you would just record the texting games, then you don't have to miss church. And I think missing the Texans right now is okay. It's mercy. This has not been pretty. But thank you for all of you who've been a part of this. And we're looking forward to some great things that have happened. In 1981, I moved here to Texas. I put all of my belongings in a Chrysler Reliant K car. Anybody remember the Reliant K car? It was one of the ugliest pieces of automobile engineering that has ever existed. I had 110 horsepower, which is not nearly enough to get on the freeways in Houston. I had to cut the air conditioner off just to be able to get on the freeway, then pray, you know, and ask the Lord to help me. But it was, I came down here. I didn't know anybody. I'm living in a hotel for a while at Kirby Drive in the Southwest Freeway. And I only knew two people in town. So I'm sitting in this hotel. They've since torn it down, which is probably good. I was sitting in the hotel restaurant, and I'm eating by myself, and I hear a table behind me that had some people. And so since I didn't have anything to do, I just listened to their conversation. And it was a group talking about their singles meeting they were having that night. So, you know, I have a church background, and I thought, hey, I just turned around and introduced myself and invited myself to their singles group. I figure I don't know anybody in town. Might be some ladies I could meet. I told you I was away from the Lord, right? Did you catch that part? I thought, yeah, maybe there's some women I can meet here at the singles group. So they were having it there at the hotel. I went that night and I did not meet Joy there. I did not meet any ladies there. But I met some people there who told me about their church that was in town, Lakewood Church. And so let's fast forward 6 weeks. Things have dramatically changed. I had met Joy. I had come back to the Lord. I'm now looking for a church, and I remember the conversation I had with the people from the singles group. I walked into Lakewood Church. I'm living in Clear Lake City, driving into Lakewood. They were on Wayside Drive, a long drive. But I'll never forget the time I walked in that building, and as soon as I walked in, I knew I was at home. Some of you share the same thing walking in here. You walk in, I'm like, home, this is great. And so that was a connection that absolutely changed my life. It changed the course of my life, changed the course of what we were doing. It was a powerful connection in our life. So this morning I want to talk about, as we talk about purpose built, I want to talk about purpose built for kingdom connections and kingdom blessings. You see, when we make kingdom connections, there are kingdom blessings that follow. Now connections, well, now we know this, connections are important. Business connections, the company you work with or the company you invest in. I don't have to remind any of us, there was a company years ago in Houston that was one time considered one of the greatest companies in the United States to work for. And they wound up being a disaster. Anybody remember Enron and how bad that turned out? And that was a connection that devastated a lot of people's life, because they put their whole life savings into Enron. And it didn't turn out well. I was with admin staff when they had 50 people. When I left them, they had already gone public. And the fact that was a good company that's still going now, they're called Insperity, they made a lot of people wealthy. Not me, but they made a lot of people wealthy. Those business connections are a powerful thing. How about relationship connections? Now, you know this, especially close ones, that good relationships are priceless and bad ones are painful. If you have good relationships, you want to thank God for those, and especially the ones that you're close to. There was a group of ladies who were in a women's Bible study, and the topic of the day in the women's Bible study was loving their husbands. And the teacher asked these ladies, when's the last time you simply texted your husband, for no particular reason, just text them the words, I love you. And some of the ladies were saying it had been a while. So she said, okay, everybody pull out your phones. So everybody pulled out their phones. She said, I want you to text your husband, I love you. She said, and at the end of the class, we'll pass the phones around and we'll read the responses that came in. So they did the text. You'll like these responses. First one was, and isn't it great, you had to pass your phone to someone else. And the first response was, who is this? One said, mother of my children, are you sick? There was one that said, I love you too. Number four was, what now? Did you wreck the car again? Number five, don't beat about the bush. Just tell me how much you need. Number six was, am I dreaming? Number seven is my particular favorite. If you don't tell me who this message is actually for, someone will die. Number eight was, I thought we agreed we would not drink during the day. And number nine was, your mother is coming to stay, isn't she? If you've got good relationships, you want to nurture them. Your mileage may vary. But the third one is what I call cultural connections. If you've got cultural connections, are the people that you hang around with. As I've raised three, my youngest is now 26. And so as we raised kids, one of the things that I always encourage parents to do is make sure you're aware of who your kids are connecting with, because the groups that they hang around with are going to make a difference in their lives. And often I tell people, I'll hear people come, they say, Alan, I'm coming out of a bad background and my background was so toxic. And I encourage them. I say, well, really? One of the best things you can do, I said, is come here. I said, get involved as much as you can. And you get some friends that will actually support your lifestyle as opposed to opposing your lifestyle. And often people say, well, you know, I've come to the Lord. I have a relationship with the Lord. What do I do with my old friends? I think one of the best things you can do with your old friends is invite them to church. Just invite them. Some will come. Some will come. Some may stay. Some may go. But at least you've done a good job of getting something going in their lives. But who you hang around with, it's really important. If you're trying to escape from a toxic lifestyle, you don't need some of your old party friends to be hanging around all the time. You need some new friends and some people who can help support that. Your connections are important. But there's another connection that all of us have the opportunity to make. And if you've made Jesus your Lord, you've made this one. It's called a kingdom connection. It's a kingdom connection that when you become a believer, you actually leave what the scriptures call the kingdom of darkness and you become part of God's kingdom. This says this in the book of Colossians. It says, for he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. And when we're talking about God's kingdom, we're talking about that where God reigns. And God's kingdom is still here on this earth. We're not talking about when we get to heaven. We're talking about what takes place down here. When you made Jesus your Lord, you got delivered out of Satan's authority, his kingdom. You're now in God's kingdom. And so all the stuff that was part of his kingdom no longer belongs to you. You're not under his authority anymore. I've always had the privilege of working for good bosses, but I've heard stories of people who've had awful bosses to work for. And can you imagine this, if you would, let's go through a hypothetical situation. Your boss is horrible, and he yells at you. He's demeaning to you. He says unkind things. He cusses at you. Just horrible. And if he's here, just don't look at him. Just look straight ahead. Just go this. But I don't believe he's here. He needs to be here. So here's the deal. Let's say that you had that horrible boss, and then you got a brand new job, and you're working for a boss who's just wonderful, and you're thinking, man, this is great. And 2 weeks after you take your new job, you're up in the morning, all of a sudden you see your phone going off and you look at it and your caller ID says, it's your old boss. And you answer the phone, you pick it up and say hello, and he starts yelling. You better get yourself in here, you blankety blank. We got projects to do, we got stuff to do. And you feel your gut start to knot up again. And you're like, and all of a sudden, then the thought hits you, wait a minute, hold on a second. And then you start to laugh. Hey, Slick, I don't work for you anymore. You are not the boss of me anymore. You can't tell me what to do. In fact, you can take that job and give it to somebody else, because I'm not doing this anymore. The next sound you hear is me hanging up, click, and it's over, because you're not under his authority anymore. You got a brand new boss. Listen, when the enemy comes with his fear, with his oppression, with his depression, with his sickness and junk, you can look and say, hey, Slick, I am not part of your kingdom anymore. I have changed. I'm in a brand new kingdom. I got a new boss. And he has freed me up. It's a lot better. It's a great kingdom to be a part of. But not only do we get to be put into a new kingdom, but we actually have the ability now to enhance and advance God's kingdom while we're here on the earth. We have an opportunity to move it forward. You say, well, I'm not a preacher. It didn't say only preachers can advance God's kingdom. All of us have an opportunity to do that. In fact, when Paul was writing to the church, in the early church, in the first century, the early church was often comprised of people who were slaves. Now think about it, there's no human rights. And there were often people who were slaves. What a liberating message to hear for a slave, that God loves you and has a plan for your life, and there would be heaven after you die. And you think, and that's all you could offer a slave? That wasn't all you could offer a slave. In fact, Paul would write the slaves. He said, listen, guys, he said, you need to obey those who are your earthly masters, indicating that we have a heavenly one. He says, obey those who are your earthly masters. In other words, how you treat your earthly masters is honoring to God's kingdom. It's saying something about God's kingdom. And then this is what he says here. Let's read this in Ephesians. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. What an amazing thing. You could actually tell a slave, hey, slave, God will bless you if you'll honor him, if you'll advance his kingdom by doing everything you do. You just do it as unto the Lord. Don't even do it for your earthly master. You do it as unto the Lord, knowing that the Lord's actually going to reward you for the things that you do. Man, that's a blessing. But here's my thing. If God can reward a slave, can he reward us? Absolutely. If we honor him and advance his kingdom. Now, let me give you a story in the Bible, a microcosm, a very quick microcosm of what the kingdom of God is like. It's in miniature, a picture of kingdom connections and kingdom blessings. It's the story of Peter before he became a disciple. Let's read here. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. And he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. It's a miniature picture. Kingdom connections, kingdom blessings. Jesus was walking by the lake, and the people would come down, and they would crowd him so much. He was so popular. People would they would crowd him. And, you know, it's hard to speak when there's people are all around you. So for Jesus, it was going to be better if he's in the boat. So he finds a boat and pulls out. Then he could sit out a little bit. The people couldn't crowd him. And actually, keep thinking in mind that he had multitudes of people, there was no microphones. And so your voice had to be able to carry, and it carried better if it's bouncing off the water. It just worked out very well. It's better from the boat. So he asked Peter if he would put out a little bit. I love the fact that he didn't demand Peter. He didn't tell Peter. He asked Peter. He didn't negotiate with Peter. He just asked him, Peter, would you hold the boat for me a little bit? And Peter agreed to do it. Wasn't convenient for Peter. Been working all night, had a bad night, didn't catch anything. Wasn't convenient, but it was possible. And so Peter did it. And when Peter did it, what happened is Peter became more than just a fisherman, and Peter's boat became more than just a fishing boat. It became a tool for the kingdom of God, because Jesus used it to help people. Now, after Jesus was finished, he looked to Peter, and he didn't say, hey, thanks, Peter, and leave. He said, Peter, let's pull out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch. Now Peter had a problem. Because Peter, one, he didn't understand the Lord's goodness. He had no idea how good the Lord was. He just really had begun to have an experience with the Lord. And so he's thinking to himself, one, you don't fish in the daytime on this lake because it's too clear and the fish will see. Number two, you don't go out into the deep water. Number three, we'd already been working hard. So Peter's got a head-heart battle going on. One, this preacher doesn't know anything about fishing. And he just told me to step out and pull out into the deep water. But Peter's heart went out. He said, okay. He said, I'm going to do it, Lord, because you said so, I will. And Peter was absolutely overwhelmed by the catch of fish. Now, here's something I think was interesting. When Peter saw the catch of fish, the Bible said he fell at Jesus' knees and said, Lord, you need to depart from me. I'm a sinful man. He had just listened to Jesus speak for who knows what, maybe an hour, hour and a half. But it wasn't the teaching that got to Peter. It was the blessings that got to Peter. And when Peter saw this amazing catch of fish, he began to realize this Jesus is different. He's more than just a teacher, that God can do some amazing things, and God's doing amazing things. And he fell at Jesus' knees because the boat was full of fish. He couldn't fall at his feet. He fell at his knees. Boat was full of fish. It was starting to sink. And he said, Lord, you need to leave me. I'm a sinful man. Well, Jesus knew that before he ever got in his boat. But the blessings did not stop with the fish. Jesus had a bigger plan for Peter. He had something more for Peter. His plan for Peter was that Peter would be one who would be one of the apostles, that Peter would be one who would take the gospel. Peter didn't know that, but when he made a kingdom connection, he saw the blessings, it became the doorway for the next step for Peter, for his walk with the Lord. Kingdom connections, kingdom blessings. Does it work for us today? Yes, that example of Peter is just a microcosm of what we have available to us today. You see, today we have the opportunity to do kingdom business. So I don't know about me. I can't do kingdom business. Yeah, you can. So anytime you give your time or your resources to help spread the message of the gospel, you're doing kingdom business. See, a lot of times we get caught up in, well, you know, I'm working for the church. Don't ever say you're just working for the church. Don't ever say, well, I'm just to this or I'm just to that. Do you realize any time that you help us spread the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're doing kingdom business. If you're out there in the parking lot helping park cars, you're doing kingdom business. If you're helping our kids or helping our youth, what you're doing is you're not just helping the church. You're helping the Lord and you're doing kingdom business. And when you begin to do kingdom business, it makes a difference. When you give of your resource, you're not just giving to the church. Well, I gave something to the church. No, actually, you gave towards God's kingdom because we're able to spread this message all over Montgomery County and all over the world. So you're doing kingdom business. You see, for us, let me just talk to you about this building. For us, it's going to be better with the building. Could we continue to do what we're doing? Yes, we could. But it's going to be better with the building. You see, when we build a building, we're going to add on to our nurseries and we'll stop closing nurseries down. Sometimes people come and walk up and they hand us their kids. We go, I'm sorry, we can't take your kids. Why? It's not because we don't like your kids. They're adorable. But the problem is we don't have enough room. And if we don't have enough room, we have to say no. We have to obey the fire codes there. So it's going to help us with that. It's going to help us with our children. We march your children up and down steps. We're always trying to find empty places. We're not trying to give them exercise. We're just trying to find an empty room. But the idea is we want to be able to impact your kids. And so we're going to impact them better if we have a better environment to teach them in. Our high school, we don't even have a high school ministry on Sunday morning. We've got a great one on Wednesday, but we don't have one on Sunday. We could, but we don't have the space. We'll be better with the building. We'll be more effective with the building. And so when you give to All Aboard, when you make a commitment to All Aboard, you're not giving to a building. You're giving to a more effective way of getting the gospel message of Jesus Christ out to children and youth all over the world. And if we look at it like that, that's a whole different perspective. That's a whole different way of looking. Because then what happens is you begin to open the door to God's kingdom blessings in your life. I wasn't the one who said this. This is in the scriptures, but in 2 Corinthians, it said, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. That means in response to pressure. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God's able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You know that scripture? And some of us in here have seen that play out in our life. Some of this may be new to you, but I would encourage you, When you obey the Lord, and sometimes he'll have you pull out in deep water. It's a little risky. You're thinking, I don't know. It's a head-heart thing. I don't know. My heart says this. My head says this. And they're differing. Say, Alan, what should I do? Follow your heart. A number of years ago, when Joy and I had gone to my hometown to start a church, many of you know that story. It was poorly planned and poorly executed. And it failed. My mom stopped coming. It was over from there. You know it's over then. Your mama said, Alan, would you pray for me to find another church? Yeah, well, that's it. Bye, Mom. So that was difficult. We shut that thing down. I went to work for my dad. He really didn't have enough. He didn't have enough opportunity on his payroll, but he had mercy on me. And Joy and I were hurting financially. We were struggling. I ate peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day. Joy made my lunch. I got the same lunch Matthew got. Peanut butter and jelly sandwich, small bag of chips, and a little Debbie. Guess what I don't eat today? I don't eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I don't touch little Debbies. Well, I had them so much. We couldn't afford anything else. I know what it's like to not have enough. And we were in the middle of that. We were thinking about moving. We didn't have money to move. And Joy's grandmother had left her some property, and they had sat dormant for years, and it sold. And we had a check come in for $5,000. Now, I don't know about you, that didn't sound like much, but 1988, 89, it was huge. And when you don't have anything, $5,000 is good. And so I'm already thinking, I know you don't do this, but I'm already thinking, how can we spend this money? And Joy's already thinking, this is my get out of North Carolina money. We're both thinking along those lines. But I'm up praying one night, which is a dangerous thing to do. My television had broken and my prayer life had increased dramatically. And so I was up praying, and boy, the Lord just spoke to my heart, give half of it to this missionary we knew. We knew a missionary, and they were in Zimbabwe, and they helped with marriages and did a lot of great things with marriage ministry. And the Lord said, give half of it to them. I'm like, get thee behind me, devil. I know that. That is so not the Lord. And I prayed about it, and it came up again. And so I did what any strong Christian head of the household will do. I said, Lord, if that is you, you better tell Joy, because she's the one that writes the checks and handles the money. The next morning, I said, sweetheart, I said, Lord spoke to me last night about giving away some of that $5,000. And I'll forget the look on Joy's eyes. She said, how much? I said, well, you need to pray about that. She came back a couple of days later. She said, Alan, I keep getting half. I went, that was the Lord. We wrote the check, and I remember when we wrote the check, it was a head-heart battle. My head was going, don't do this. This is your only money to get out. My heart was saying, if we'll go ahead and obey God, he can take care of us. And I remember when I wrote that check, I put it in the mailbox. I had such a joy come over me. Couldn't explain it. Say, well, what happened? Did something happen immediately? No. But about 3 months later, 4 months later, Joy's had some other property that had sat dormant for 30 years. All of a sudden, they had a contract on it, and $12,000 came into our family. We're like, glory to God. We are getting out of Dodge. We are heading back to Texas, never to leave again. And so that money enabled us to come back and enabled us to get a job. God gave me a creative idea, and we actually were able to buy a house that we used to rent. I went to work for Administaff, and in 6 months, I'd set sales records, and we blew that thing up. Say, Alan, it's because you're so awesome. No, it's because God's so awesome, and when you open up doors to him, there are kingdom blessings that happen in your life. I'm fully convinced. I am fully convinced that if we hadn't sowed that seed, if we hadn't obeyed in that area, I don't think we'd have seen all those blessings that took place in our life. So grateful for that. Guys, can I tell you what? I'm excited about building a building, but it's not just a building. I'm excited about one more thing that's going to take place. I'm excited about what's going to take place in some of your lives. In some of your lives, as you begin to connect in with God, as you take an adventure with God, as you launch out and say, we're going to do something, I'm excited about what's going to take place, because I know blessings that follow, but it's not just the blessings that follow. It's a connection that you start to make with God, and it becomes one of those landmarks in your walk with him, and it changes things. You see, if we fast forward 1,000 years from now, and y'all are all hanging out at my mansion, or I'm all over at your mansion, and we're hanging out, we're on the lawn, and we're talking, you know what we're not going to be talking about? We are not going to be talking about how inept the Texans offense is and how the Cowboys can't seem to score at all. We're not going to be talking about that. We're not even going to be talking about the Astros, who are the only bright spot in Houston's entire sports world. We're not going to be talking about that. You know what we are going to be talking about? The fact that we had an opportunity while we were on earth to make a difference in our county, to make a difference all over the world. And we'll point to people that are in heaven with us because we had an opportunity to do something to make a kingdom connection that lasts for eternity. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? Please, no moving about. We're going to be out of here in just a couple of minutes. But if you came this morning and said, Alan, I don't know that I've ever made that connection with the King, the Lord Jesus. I don't know that I've ever made that connection with Him, but I'd like to. Or maybe you're saying, Alan, I had done that in time past, and I got so far away from God, and I know it. And this morning, I want to come back. I want to reconnect. I want to connect for the very first time. The value of this is eternal. This morning, if you're here and you say, one of those situations applies to me, I want to connect with the Lord or I want to reconnect, Alan, would you pray for me? We're not going to ask you to stand up. We're not going to ask you to come to the front. We're not going to try to embarrass you. But I am going to ask you to do one thing. If that's you today and you're serious about this, all I am going to do is ask you to acknowledge that by an uplifted hand. Say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Appreciate that. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your courage. Thank you. Yeah, hands are up in the front and in the back. Anybody else? So say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Great. Thank you. Appreciate your courage. It takes a lot of courage, a lot of humility to say, yeah, that's me. I recognize I'm not where I should be, but I want to be there. Great. Thank you. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Now, I know some of you might be thinking, I didn't lift my hand. I missed my opportunity. No, you didn't. You may not have lifted your hand, but in your heart, this is a heart prayer we're going to pray. We're going to pray it out loud. We're going to join you as a church family. You pray it with you so you can hear yourself pray. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. As heads are bowed and eyes are still closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer today, for those that just switched kingdoms and came out of a kingdom of darkness and walked into your kingdom of light, and for those who have come back home. Thank you, Father, you received them with open arms and a loving smile. And today, Father, we thank you that you're working in our hearts, that we can actually have a part in your kingdom of enhancing it and advancing it in Montgomery County around the world. What a blessing that is. And Father, what blessings follow. Thank you for that. What a wonderful God, what a wonderful Father, what a wonderful King we serve. And we give you all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about the Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.